Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.ag.
Another hand clap to Jesus today. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's pray this together, okay, church? Let's pray this together. Come on, just keep standing for a few more seconds and let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I'm opening my heart. Speak to me and change my life. Amen. How many of you know this is a dangerous prayer? It's a dangerous prayer because He may actually speak to you today. Well, you may be seated, friends. You may be seated. We are so happy you joined us today for this service in the middle of the summer, in the middle of Budapest. I think this is the hottest Sunday this year. The hottest Sunday this year. I really appreciate you and I want to honor you for coming out tonight in the middle of this heat. But I think the secret is that you have the fire of God burning inside of you and your heart is even hotter than the weather here. How many of you are on fire for Jesus tonight? Yeah, hallelujah. Amazing. You know, God responds to this kind of spiritual hunger. And I really believe that He's going to meet you tonight. Oh, wow, this is amazing. I'm having my own fan on the stage. Wow, we have a couple of stands in the house, a couple of fans in the house. So hopefully you can enjoy a little bit of breeze. Wow, this is amazing. I'm going to preach for long now. Amazing. Yeah, just like Toby mentioned, we are in the middle of our series about money, about finance, and we talk about finances as it's part of life. It's something that Jesus talked about quite a lot, and actually we talk about the finance in a non-threatening way because we understand that it's part of our life and it's part of God's purpose, part of God's design for your life. And we have to deal with finances on a daily basis, right? We have to deal with the finances on a daily basis. So it's good to have a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview on money. And so I hope that this message today will challenge you, it will inspire you, it will also equip you to be doing really well financially as well. I also want to give a special welcome to my own brother here with his whole family. I think they're back downstairs, maybe at the end of the service. This is a bit special for me. Awesome, awesome, amazing. So I've been preaching from the 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So if you can look it up with me. And the title of the message tonight is Abundance Mentality. 2 weeks ago, I was sharing about poverty mentality. Today, I would like to share about the opposite, abundance mentality. I believe that God has created us for abundance, for overflow, for blessing. It's amazing when you read the Bible. The first thing that Adam and Eve experienced was the garden. They had everything they needed for the life. When you look into the last pages of the Bible, you see the New Jerusalem, again a place of abundance where we have everything that we need. God has actually designed us for abundance. Amen? For me personally, this has been a journey. To understand, to have a revelation that God actually has abundance for me. That I'm not born to have a poverty mindset, but I'm actually designed for abundance, for having more than enough in my own life so that I could be a blessing to others. And my own life has been a testimony, a huge testimony to God's grace and God's faithfulness. How many others in the house, you are a testimony of God's grace and God's faithfulness. I love this song, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful. All My Life You Have Been Good to Me." Yeah, come on. And this is my testimony. This is my story. This is my own journey. God has taken me from a poverty mindset. I'm not a millionaire. Maybe in foreigns I am. It's not that difficult. But I'm definitely, as the Bible says, I'm a prince of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm not a slave. I'm not an orphan. I'm a son of the living God. That's what I carry. And we're siblings, we're in the same kingdom, sharing the same privileges of God's sons and daughters tonight. So I'm going to take you now through a bit of a story, a bit of a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I'm not going to read the whole passage. It's from chapter 8, verses 7 through 18. That's the chunk that we will go through tonight. But I'm not going to read the whole thing at once. I will actually read bits and pieces as we go. But the context is that Paul is organizing a campaign. He's organizing an offering for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was suffering. There was a lot of poverty. They had a lot of issues. A lot of poor people were joining the church. There were quite a few widows and orphans as well. And so Paul was collecting money from the other churches. And now he has the offering from the churches in Macedonia. And because of that, Paul is now writing to the city of Corinth. And Corinth was an industrial city. It was a city that had an important port, an important harbor. There was a lot of trade, a lot of business happening in Corinth. So he's writing to the Corinthian church. And he's challenging them. He's saying, hey guys, the poor churches in Macedonia, they have been really generous. How about you? He's provoking them to generosity. And you know, oftentimes, we have to break out of our limitations to be generous. The poverty spirit, the poverty mentality, it's all about here and now. I want to satisfy my needs and my desires here and now. But you know, when we have the kingdom perspective, it's not about here and now. It's about eternity. It's about the future generations. It's dreaming how we can bless others out of our own overflow, yeah, out of our own abundance. The poverty mentality is the mentality that is kind of thinking that if I give, there's not going to be enough for me. If I give from something that I have, then there's going to be less. There's not going to be enough for me. So I'm thinking the cake is too small to share. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If I give from my cake, there is not going to be enough for me and my own family. Let me bring you the news. God has a big cake. God has, not only that, His cake multiplies. Remember Jesus? He took the bread and the fish and He broke it and He broke it and He kept breaking the bread and there was never lack. It was more than enough. 5,000 men ate and even more ladies and kids ate and they had 12 full baskets of overflow. The cake is not too small. See, poverty mentality is the mentality we're saying, oh, this person doesn't deserve it. But kingdom mentality, abundance mentality, overflow mentality is a mentality to bless others. So I'm going to bring a couple of principles. Here is number one. The first principle says, abundance mentality flows from revelation. Come on, church, let's say this together. Abundance mentality flows from revelation. verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. This is what Paul tells them. He says, since you excel or you abound in everything, and then there is a list in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now, when I was reading this passage, I felt God speak to me. And He was telling me these words, Miro, you are so incredibly wealthy. In faith, I'm a wealthy person in faith. Maybe I don't have that many dollars, but I have faith. How many of you have faith in the house? Yeah? You are wealthy. You are wealthy in the Word. Any people that are wealthy, rich in the Word, we have the Word of God. That's the greatest treasure. Amen? You are wealthy. You are wealthy in knowledge. You know, how many of you know God? It's like three people. Come on. We know we have an incredible wealth. You know God. And then it says, in complete earnestness, basically in passion. I'm a passionate person. I love Jesus passionately. And God was telling me, you're incredibly wealthy. You have faith, you have knowledge, you have the Word, you have passion, and you have love. Now, this was a revelation to me. You have such an incredible spiritual inheritance. You have such an incredible spiritual wealth. You have such an incredible spiritual richness, heritage in your life. And you are generous in that. You know, I share my faith. I share my love. I share my passion. I share my knowledge. Even today, I'm sharing my knowledge with you. Amen? And so, Paul is basically complimenting the church in Corinth. He's saying, guys, you are so wealthy. You are so rich in all of these things. There's just one small detail. Just as you abound in all of these things, I want to encourage you. Why don't you also abound in the grace of giving? Now, this is a revelation. Wealth is a mindset. It's not about your bank account. It is a mindset. You know, I have a few wealthy friends. Like, I mean, I am wealthy, but these guys are really wealthy. I have a couple of guys you would consider them actually rich. But when I visit, when we talk together, you know, it's never about the money. You know what we talk about? We talk about values. We talk about influence. How can we actually influence the society? How can we make a difference? We talk about relationships. They talk about what is important to their heart. See, wealth is a mindset. It's not about cash. It's not about the bank account. It's actually about abundance, both in quantity and in quality. See, abundance is when you have enough for yourself and you also have enough to be a blessing to others. Can I say that again? Abundance is when you have enough for yourself, but you also have enough to bless others. That is a very simple definition. Now, there is level one. Level one is when you do not have enough. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. When you do not have enough. We have all been there, right? I don't have enough. Level two is when you have enough. That's a better place. Level three is when you have more than enough, so you can actually be a blessing. Now, when you go from level one to level two, this is when you get blessed. But when you go from level two to level three is when you actually become a blessing. It's not that just you are getting blessed. You are becoming a blessing to others. In other words, others are blessed because of you. Hallelujah. How many of you would love not just to be blessed, but to actually be a blessing to others? Come on. See, abundance mentality flows from this revelation. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in faith. I'm blessed in love. I'm blessed with passion. I'm blessed with the knowledge of God. And I'm also blessed with physical, material blessing, and I'm going to go from level one, from not having enough, to level two, having enough, to level three, of having more than enough so I can actually be a blessing. Come on, do you agree with me? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Paul tells them, just shift your thinking. You are a wealthy person. Through Jesus, you have access to the heritage. You have access to abundance. Hallelujah. Here is number two. This is very simple. Jesus actually paid for our abundance. Can we say this together? Jesus paid for our abundance. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Now, it's actually Jesus becoming one of us so that we could actually become like him. Now, the context is actually financial or physical in this passage. We know that this was also, valid, or this also pertains to spiritual things in our life. But it also talks about physical issues. Now, I want to put it like this. I don't preach the prosperity gospel. I preach that the gospel is your prosperity. Is this making sense? I don't preach the prosperity gospel. I preach that the gospel is your prosperity. Jesus is your prosperity. He changes your life. Salvation is a story from minus to plus. That's the cross. That is the cross. You go from minus to plus. Jesus is your prosperity. I have a lot of friends whose lives Jesus changed. Some of them were drug addicts. Some of them were alcoholics. Some of them were addicted to a whole lot of stuff. Different addictions, porn, drugs, gambling. But you know, the moment they gave their life to Jesus, their chances for a prosperous life went up dramatically. I'm going to say that again, because there may be somebody here that needs to hear it. The moment they gave their life to Jesus, their chance for a prosperous life increased dramatically. The moment you give your life to Jesus, he turns your minus into plus. Your chance for an abundant life, an overflowing life, a prosperous life goes up dramatically. There is an old hymn that says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, a beggar like me, a nobody like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." How many of you know that song? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." What an amazing choir in the room tonight. Come on. So, friends, it's impossible to deny that the gospel actually improves your quality of life, not just once in eternity, but already here, now, today, for your life right now. See, it's actually something that requires discipleship. You need to change your habits. You need to steward the resources that God has given you. You know, there is no usury in the kingdom of God. There is no exploiting people in the kingdom of God. We are not slaves of debt, of mammon and greed. So it takes discipleship. But actually, by Jesus becoming poor, you have become rich. He has turned your minus into plus. You know, one of the most amazing scriptures in the gospel is in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Satan comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill, but Jesus comes to give us life, and to give us life abundant. That's what God actually gives me. You know, just a little bit of a story. I mentioned a couple of my embarrassing stories to Sundays ago. So I think I told you about my first car. Did I tell you about my first car? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, my red Ferrari. You know, one of the bad habits I fell into early on was that I didn't have enough cash, so I would always only put a little bit of gas into my tank. And I cannot tell you how many times I ran out of gas driving that little old red Skoda. We hardly had any money in the beginnings. And so I would only put a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, maybe a couple of liters. And I always had, you know, a car full of young people so they could push. Now, when this guy, when Toby was just a baby, there was one story I cannot forget. We were actually visiting our in-laws, and it was winter, it was snow, late night. I think it was between Christmas and New Year's. And about 11 o'clock, we were making our way home, and we ran out of gas. We had two small babies in the back of the car. It was dark, it was freezing cold, under zero. Two small babies, a not so very happy wife, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, she's a woman of God, but she's not that spiritual. So what I did is she went to the driving wheel. I went behind the car, and I was pushing the car for about 2 kilometers till the closest gas station. It was closed. But I saw that there was a car parked by it, so we were banging on the door of that closed gas station. We woke up the guy who was inside, and he gave us gas. You know, I played, you know, the poor father. I have two kids in the car. Help me out. You know, when I started the car after that, I said, Jesus, never again. Never again. We're going to change this. This is not going to be my lifestyle. I'm not going to live with the poverty mindset in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And, you know, since that time, we always put a full tank into the car. And there is plenty. There is enough. There is abundance. You don't have to have that. So Jesus became poor so you can become rich. That was number two. Here's number three. It's all about your attitude. Can we say this together? It's about your attitude. Now, let me just give you a couple of these scriptures. Verse 8 says, I am not commanding you. I want to test the sincerity of your love. Say with me, sincerity. Sincerity. The attitude of sincerity of your love. And then in verse 10, it says, last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. See the attitude? Paul tells them, you didn't just want to, you know, put money into the offering. You actually wanted to do that willingly, with a desire. Here is another thing in verse 11. He says, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion. It's a diplomatic way to say, hey, do it with a great attitude. And in verse 12, he says, if the willingness is there, then the gift is acceptable. Now, a very simple principle. When you give, what really counts is the attitude. Given from all of your heart. Now, there are a couple of scary stories in the Bible. How many of you read the Bible from cover to cover? Some of you? Yeah. Oh, there's a couple of scary stories in regards to giving. One is about the young rich ruler. Oh man, Jesus, help me today. Help me to preach this Holy Spirit. The young guy, influential guy, he was a very religious guy as well, and he had a lot of money. Now, when Jesus asked him to follow him, his problem was that he actually loved his wealth. That's a scary story. And for him, his material possessions was actually a barrier to follow Jesus. Don't fall into that trap. Amen? Here's another scary story. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. Those were also wealthy guys. And they came to Peter, the apostle Peter. And they gave him a large sum of money. But they actually tried to play a very hyper-spiritual appearance. They were trying to make an impression that actually they gave more than what was the amount they actually gave. And they did that just to play a religious face that we are so spiritual. Yeah, don't do that. And another one is Cain, the first man who was actually born. The first son of Adam and Eve. Now, when him and his brother, when they came to sacrifice to the Lord, we hear about Abel that he gave his best. He gave his first fruits. And we also read about Cain that he just gave something. He just gave something from his crops. It was not the best. It was not the first. He just gave God something. Don't do that. When Jesus looks at our giving, he is looking at the attitude. He's looking at the heart. Now, you would know the story in the book of Mark, chapter 12. I think we have already mentioned that story in the series. There is a positive example. Those three are scary examples. This is a positive example. Here is a lady that was incredibly poor. The only thing she had was two coins. And so she comes to the temple and she puts those two coins. That was the weakest currency in Israel. And she put that into the treasury. And as Jesus is there, he is looking at her. And he's looking at how people were giving. And he sees right into the heart. And this is what he says. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything, all she had to live on. Now, this is an amazing story saying that Jesus was actually interested in her attitude. He was interested to see the heart she came with. Did you know that Jesus is looking into our hearts when we're giving? See, giving is worship. When we give, it's an act of worship. He looks into our heart to see what kind of attitude we come with when we give. We don't just give a leftover to God. We actually worship Him as we give. Hallelujah. So that was number three. Here is number four. And it's simply one word. It's actually one of our values. Together. Come on. Together. Verses 13 and 14. This is what Paul says. Our desire is that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed. But that there might be equality. Oh, our desire is not that others might be relieved, I'm sorry, while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Now, this is amazing because God actually wants to use your generosity to bless someone else. There is someone else praying for financial breakthroughs. And God wants to use my generosity to bless that person. Now, here is how financial miracles actually happen. Do you want to hear that? Step number one is someone gets blessed. Someone has an overflow. Imagine this guy. Yeah, can you stand up? Can you stand up, Sherry? Help me preach. Now he's a blessed man. Yeah, amen. He's a blessed man. He is blessed. So out of his overflow, he's gonna bless someone else. Peter, can you stand up? So he's gonna bless Peter. And now Peter has been praying the whole time to get blessed. Amen. He's praying to get blessed. So this is how it works. He's got an abundance. Sherry's got an abundance. He's got an overflow. So he is going to bless Peter. And now, because he's been praying, God has blessed his life. He has a testimony. He has a miracle in his own life. And now, because he is blessed, because he is touched out of his thanks, out of his new abundance, out of his new overflow, he's going to bless someone else. Who is he going to bless? Who is he going to bless? Oh, yeah. We have a volunteer. So, yeah. Oh, this is becoming good. And so, you can see this is becoming a chain reaction now. It's becoming a culture of the house. Someone gets blessed. Then out of his overflow, somebody else gets blessed. And then out of his overflow, somebody new is becoming blessed. You're blessed. You are blessed. He said, thank you. And now because he is blessed, he's going to bless others. And it never stops. And as you give, he doesn't have less because he blessed Peter. Because God pours into him more out of his blessing. Amen. You may be seated. You've been amazing volunteers. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. See, there is a principle, and I'm going to preach about that the next time. There's a principle that we call sowing and reaping. You always reap what you have sown. But there is an in-between season when you are already sowing something new by faith, but you're still reaping something from your past. And that in-between season tends to be difficult. And that's where you need to push through. You need to trust God. You need to persevere and do steps of faith. And in the right time, in the due time, God is going to prove himself faithful to you. Hallelujah. If we could have the piano player come, that would be amazing. Yeah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. My last scripture. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, there is a family of believers, and it really is a family. Now, yesterday we were at Balaton, we had the church day, an amazing time. You know, it felt like family, siblings. It was a family gathering. It was a family gathering. And I believe that what God wants to do is actually he wants to stir generosity in your heart, to have an open heart, to actually see the needs of people around you. And there's going to be, I'm believing for an unleashed chain reaction of generosity in this church. Now we want to be generous to God. You know, when there is tithes and offerings, that's kind of the normal thing. But over and beyond, I believe that God wants to do a whole chain reaction of generosity miracles. Somebody blessing somebody, and that person blessing somebody else. I want to finish with this story. When I was early in my ministry, I think it was a 10th year Bible college reunion. I traveled to America, to the States, for a Bible college reunion. It was called Homecoming. A few of my classmates we came together and we celebrated what God has done in those 10 years. In the meantime, we had planted a church. God has been good. I got married in the meantime. And one of my classmates, actually, he said that, Miro, God put something on my heart. I want to take you to the shopping mall and buy you a pair of preaching shoes. Now, back in those days, we would be preaching, you know, in a suit and a tie and nice shoes. So I came with him to the shopping mall, and he took me to the most expensive shoe store in the mall. And I love shoes. Those of you who know me, I love shoes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So he took me to the store, and he said, choose any pair. And he says, as a matter of fact, I wanted to choose two pairs of shoes. Now, there was no cheap shoes. It was only expensive shoes. And so I was overwhelmed. I looked at those beautiful shoes. I picked a few. And the personnel, they didn't just give me the shoes. They untied the shoe. They had me sit down. They took my shoe off. And the lady actually put the new shoe on my foot and asked me if it feels okay. And then she tried another 10 pairs. And I chose the best two. Now, it was a first-class service. Never before, never after. But then I was blessed with amazing two pairs. I was preaching in those shoes so many times. It was beautiful. And I felt when I was sitting there, God saying that, you know, I'm going to take the poverty mentality from you. I'm going to take those old shoes from you. And I'm going to give you a new pair of shoes to walk in. You're not an orphan anymore. You're a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir. It was a simple gesture. It was something very simple. But it was like God changed something in my mindset in that store. And coming here today, I felt that God wants to do something like that again. And if we could have, and I want to say about you, but as I do that, how about we stand? Come on. It's a demonstration of what I'm preaching about today. And I wanna do that over Peter, but I also want to do that over each and every one of you in Jesus' name today. Is that okay? Yeah. So in Jesus' name, I want to take off the orphan shoes. I want to take off the spirit of poverty, the mentality of poverty, the poverty mindset in Jesus' name. And I want to declare that you are a son. You are an heir. You are a prince. And there is abundance. There is overflow. There is provision. There is not just enough. There is more than enough in Jesus' name. There is more than enough in Jesus' name. And I declare that He has everything that you need. He has everything that you need. And it's at your disposal. It's fully available in Jesus' name. Everything that you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So come on, just for a moment, wherever you are, just let's just spend this time, just a moment in the presence of God. And by faith, just download it for your own life. By faith, just receive this. Enough provision, enough from His resource to you. There's plenty, there is abundance, there is overflow into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.